I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast.
Don't forget to join us on blab.im/LisaDeLay every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or GMT-4. Or you can catch the replay of the live discussion at sparkmymuse.com. Today I'm joined by veteran radio host Lori Neff. Lori was part of an ensemble of hosts at Midday Connection from Moody Bible Radio, heard all over the country and all over the world, and the program was suddenly canceled. This was a shock to all the fans and to Lori and the staff as well. It's a privilege to speak with Lori now, to see what she plans for the future, her new podcasting endeavor, and what it's been like for her to end such a long career with Moody Radio.
Hello.
Hello, Lori Neff. Welcome to Spark My Muse.
Thank you.
So this is really, really neat. And I wanted this show to be a chance for you to talk about anything that you'd like to about Midday or transitioning or what you're up to now and in whatever way that feels most life-giving to you. And right. I'm just a longtime fan, and I know a lot of people listening are also going to fall into that category of being very familiar with what you've done over the years and looking forward to what you're up to next. But for people who aren't familiar with who you are and what you've been up to, maybe you can fill those listeners in.
Sure. With what I am coming from and, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's an interesting question now. It used to be very easy to answer, mm-hmm. and now it's a little different. But I have worked in radio broadcasting for 18 years, and in various capacities. I started out as a receptionist, actually, mm-hmm. In the radio field, mm-hmm. and ended up as host and producer of Midday Connection, a national women's talk program. It was an hour-long program where we just talked about stuff that mattered to women. So, you know, it started out very segmented, like we talked about workplace, parenting, and relationships, and finances. And then we broadened our scope a little bit and actually honed in on spiritual formation and what it means to connect with God as a woman. And we talked a lot more about the heart and the soul and creativity, and mm-hmm. it was pretty exciting. I really enjoyed focusing on those things. That's really where my heart is.
Yeah, and I noticed on your website when I started really investigating you a little bit more seriously in preparation for this talk that you do spiritual direction. And
I do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and maybe you can talk about what drew you to that and if you've had training and how it works for people who aren't familiar.
Sure. Yeah. This was a surprise to me. I'm pretty transparent, or have been pretty transparent on Midday Connection and on my blog about my personal struggle with depression. And I have benefited so much from wonderful counselors and mentors and people just walking with me. And that has saved my life. Mm-hmm. And because it was so important to me, I think this is often how God uses our pain, is that now we turn around and we help other people.
Yes.
And so so I thought, maybe I'll be a counselor. Maybe that will be a great second career for me. And so I studied counseling for about a year, and I realized there was a nuance to it that just wasn't quite a fit for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not really someone who likes to give advice or necessarily problem solve for people. Mm-hmm. I just want to be with people mm-hmm. in the mess mm-hmm. and just listen and offer a compassionate and open presence to them. Mm-hmm. And I had several people in my life who told me, wow, you should really look into being a spiritual director. Mm. And I had never been to a spiritual director before. I didn't really know what that was. But I knew looking into a program that a coworker of mine had gone through, I knew that the topics appealed to me, talking about prayer and a deeper connection with God and sitting with people and listening, all of that appealed to me. So I just went for it. I took a program, a two-year program. It's called Christos, and they're actually based in Minnesota, and they have a branch in the suburbs of Chicago. And so I joined the program and graduated, and it has been such a wonderful fit for my personality and how I believe God has prepared me in life. To, you know, we all have dealt with our share of pain, and I feel like my pain has prepared me well to sit with people and be okay with the mess and the questions. And it is my greatest love right now to sit with directees. And, you know, a lot of people still aren't familiar with spiritual direction. And basically what it is listening with the other person for God's activity in their life. And what one of the things that I really enjoy about it is the creativity that can come into it. Because God can speak through so many different ways, through art and nature and silence and song. And so it's just really, I think to me, that's the most exciting part is when I can witness the directee connecting with God in a different way that really lights their fire. And so it is it's a quiet practice. I don't say a whole lot in the sessions. They're an hour-long sessions. I mostly sit and listen and then reflect back what I hear, maybe ask a question or two, talk about things that I've noticed. And it's a very gentle, safe, and warm sort of ministry, and I love it.
That's wonderful. I have had a director for years, and also did my graduate work in spiritual formation with with lessons in that, but I haven't taken like the intensive 2-year thing. But have found that, and also had some counseling experiences in my background too, going to a counselor for a period of time. And what the beautiful difference that I noticed, and there's obviously times for both. Sometimes you need the therapeutic aspect for certain types of healing and trauma, and sometimes you don't, because you don't need to think of those sessions as a problem to solve. And sometimes you're going to come into your director with a concern that you bring to God. And sometimes you're going to come in with just joy, and you're not looking for the pathology or the problem. And it can just be, it's just life-giving for everyone in my experience. It's the director is breathed into with the Holy Spirit, and the directee is also breathed into.
Absolutely.
And it's beautiful. And not that every time is just, you know, pure bliss. Sometimes there's conviction, and sometimes you have to look at an ugly side, and
or it feels like nothing's happening too. And that's okay. It's not like, you're right. It's not like every time is this high of wow. You know, those are gifts, you know, when they happen. But it's not always that way.
Right. And so as you transition from doing Midday Connection, do you anticipate that this will be more of a central feature, or it'll also go in tandem with what you do, what you're planning to do with podcasting?
Yeah, boy, you know, I'm really not sure. And actually, you know, as I was talking about what I have been doing for 18 years, I didn't really round that out with this last summer. It suddenly, I was told that the program was ending. And so that was a big shock for me. I have been mentored by my coworkers and really encouraged to take on more of a hosting role with the program. And I really thought that that's what God had for me, that my future would be taking on Midday Connection as the primary host once my coworkers retired, you know, years from now. And that's just the track I thought that God had me on. Mm-hmm. And with the spiritual direction alongside that, I just felt like that made me a fuller host, a more compassionate host on the air and addressing topics from maybe a different angle. And I just thought that was such a gift, and it excited me and energized me. Mm. And so when I learned the program was ending, it really has taken me into a spiral of confusion, mm-hmm. and questions, mm-hmm. and some depression this summer. I think I'm still grieving because my heart was so much in that program, mm-hmm. and I love working with women, and mm-hmm. so what I've done is I've really leaned into the things that bring me joy, mm-hmm. and the things that are life-giving. And so that's spiritual direction, that's prayer, that's leading retreats, and starting a podcast focused on prayer. Mm. And, none of those things are really going to pay the bills for me. And so I'm still in that place, that space of like, okay, God, I'm trusting you here. And I don't know what exactly is the plan. Mm-hmm. I can't see around the bend. It's a little foggy right now, but, mm-hmm. But I do believe that God has prepared me for something. I just can't see it yet. Mm-hmm. So I think where I am right now is, just continuing to do the stuff that I love and, I want to process this grief well. Mm-hmm. So I've been meeting with a friend, doing art, just mm-hmm. grabbing a piece of paper and just doing some sort of art mm-hmm. to help process. And I've been blogging. I have a blog series, and connecting with God in different ways. And I think that's part of what I love about my podcast, the Everyday Prayer Podcast, is that I think we connect with God in different ways in different seasons of our lives. And during my times of depression and grief, we all experience times of grief. For me, I experience those pretty quietly. Mm. And I find I just don't have words. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have many verbal prayers. Mm. Sometimes I just sit in my chair and I'm just with God. Mm-hmm. And I believe my life and my breath at that time is my prayer. Mm. And other times it's art. And other times it's just a song or watching a bird. I think it's just the being with God mm. is my prayer at those times. And I fully believe that that's good mm-hmm. and that's honoring of God just as much as words, mm-hmm. which is, for a lot of traditions, prayer is words, prayer equals words. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm enjoying about my podcast is maybe stretching those boundaries a little bit mm-hmm. and talking about how it can involve our imagination, our breath, mm-hmm. Drawing, mm-hmm. our bodies, movement, mm-hmm. And just kind of seeing how different people connect with God. It's all very exciting to me.
Yeah, and I like what you're saying about it's the difference between apophatic and cataphatic yes. prayer, the cataphatic mm-hmm. being yeah. word related. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those beautiful things that opened up to me as I studied forms of prayer was we used Rembrandt's Prodigal Son yes. image. Mm-hmm. And we just, as a class, we stood around it and we really absorbed it. And then when we noticed something that seemed meaningful, we would pray about it. And this went on for at least 20 minutes. And because I started out in visual art and graphic design in my undergraduate work, I'm very geared to pictures and images as well as verbal. I like the verbal side as well, but
yeah, yes.
there's something much more visceral about imagery for me and always has been. I think that's just how I'm wired. And so to be able to kind of step into that painting and see myself as one of the characters mm-hmm. in it, mm-hmm. it was so, it blew that box wide open.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that about art and different forms of creativity. There's so much nuance in that connection with God, that I feel like it's a more gentle a way that God can speak to our very core. At least that's how, that's definitely how God has worked in my life when it comes to art, and whether that's a Visio Divina, like you did with the Rembrandt, or if it's creating art, even with something like, there's a book, Drawing Your Prayer, something about, it's a very approachable book, how you can draw and doodle while you're praying. And even that can be really powerful too.
Well, I'm a little bit curious about your spiritual background as in childhood and your formation moving on up. Did you always come from a Christian environment?
I grew up in a home that went to church. We all went to different churches. My dad is a pastor's kid, a PK. And so he grew up definitely in the church and in that environment. So we went to, growing up, we went to some pretty conservative evangelical churches, some Assemblies of God churches. And somewhere along the line, as a teenager, I really latched on to just a very legalistic view of my relationship with God. And I think the way my personality is, I wanted some boxes to check. So I knew I was doing it right. And so that led me down this pretty tragic path that was pretty painful of trying to do it all right and being pretty judgmental of others who weren't doing it right, according to me. And, you know, it took a lot of pain to realize that God is so much bigger than my my rules that I have set up, that I have put God in this box that I could manage and handle. And I, through a lot of pain, I realized A plus B does not equal C, where, you know, the A is I'm doing all the right things, you know, plus B is, you know, this situation that I am, you know, I'm just doing it all right. It does not always equal happiness and smooth sailing for us. There's a lot of bumps in the road that are hard to explain. And there's a lot of pain that God can redeem. And he does redeem, maybe not in this lifetime. But I do believe in God's redemption of our stories. And so, so I moved out of that eventually, probably not until my 20s, after I graduated college. And then in 2007, I connected with a wonderful woman, Janet Davis. She has written The Feminine Soul. And I was on an extended retreat with her with my coworkers, and the way she approached God was just a breath of fresh air. It honored me as a woman. It honored each of us for the different ways we connect with God. And it was so grace-filled that I just felt like, wow, is this possible that God loves me that much? And ever since, my life has just been changed. I see God as this loving, loving God who has way more grace than I could ever imagine. And, you know, God sees me and he cares. And so, since then, that kind of took me on a different path with God. And I'm so thankful it has... it changed every aspect of my life.
Yeah, it was like he was chasing you with his love.
Yes. And I wanted some boxes to check.
Yeah. And, it's interesting because I think those tendencies to want certainty come from a devoted heart. You know, originally, I don't think they come from a bad place, but, you know, the urge to make life makes sense and figure out our pain and feel like this is how God works and you know, here's a cubby hole for him to fit into in this case, in this case, in this case.
Yeah.
And then I think that God lets us do that for a little while till we get our footing, and then he will you know, change the ground that we're walking on, so that if once we're ready, I think that he will draw us into a more mature faith.
Yes. Yeah. It reminds me, of course, of, Janet Hagberg, Critical Journey is her book. And it talks about the stages of faith. Mm-hmm. And each stage is important and has its own work. And, you know, we need to start with those foundational pieces of our mm-hmm. of our building our faith. And you know, some of those foundations can feel a little legalistic mm-hmm. if we stay there, but they're important for the foundation, and then we can move on. My spiritual director once told me it's like, I'm still sitting with this, so I don't know if I fully agree with her, but I love this imagery mm-hmm. of it's like we start out as a caterpillar. All of our feet, all of our many feet, are well grounded on Scripture and on the foundations of our faith. They're fully connected there. Mm-hmm. But then we transform, and God does this work in us, and we become this butterfly mm-hmm. that can fly in freedom, but we always come back. We land on the Scripture. That's still our foundation, mm-hmm. but we have more freedom. Mm-hmm. And I love that image. And I love the freedom in that, and I love the grace in that.
Yeah, and it's true that, you know, caterpillars and butterflies are extremely different creatures, that if you mm-hmm. would, if someone was expecting you to be a caterpillar and stay a caterpillar and you turn into a butterfly, it's yeah. going to come as a shock, and maybe yes. they'll say, that's not really you, or, you know, we become sometimes unrecognizable
yes.
as we're changing, and yet we're still the same, you know, we're still loved by God, and we are still knowing who God is in whatever stage that is, even though sometimes our ideas of God have expanded, and I'm sure they will never expand enough to know mm-hmm. who right. we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true.
So as far as what your podcast, can you tell me when you think that will launch and kind of the format that you see that it might be?
Yeah. This has been quite a journey. Mm-hmm. It's actually, the podcast is something that I wanted to do. I wanted to launch when I was working with Midday Connection, but I didn't have the time. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a gift now that here I have the space, and I have a little more understanding of what I would like to do with the podcast. I have listened to several different podcasts focusing on prayer, like Pray As You Go or Daily Disconnect is another one. Those two, I commend those to your listeners as well if they're not familiar with them yet. Those are wonderful daily prayer podcasts, and I enjoyed them, but there was a little different angle that I wanted to go to with my podcast is I wanted to have some silence and just a time to kind of settle ourselves into the space and then engage in a prayer practice, a guided prayer practice. So that might be a Lectio, that might be a body prayer or a poem or something like that. And it's a simple, about a 8-minute podcast that you can pray while you're driving or walking or gardening or whatever. Or if you're just sitting in your chair at home. But that sort of praying has been so meaningful to me. Just to be kind of guided in different ways of praying. And for me, some of them may connect better than others. And I just offer these as opportunities, as gifts to try out. Does this connect with you or not? And it's totally fine if it doesn't, and it's great if it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of like if you're familiar with Gary Thomas's book, Sacred Pathways, he talks about different ways that we connect with God, and some people connect best in nature, some people connect best in silence, others connect best through liturgy, and so not all of the prayers that I lead our listeners in will connect, and that's okay.
Yeah, and not all of them will connect right then too, because I noticed I did Lexio for a while, and it tends to be, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine who's been on the podcast before. He teaches spiritual formation in Corpus Christi, Texas, and he was talking about how God will have us experience a lot of joy in the beginning and then draws us into a deeper faith and what can be sometimes the dark night of the soul. Mm-hmm. And I noticed with Lexio, I was very much blown away by it at first. You know, where you're praying scripture, you're reading it, you're really digesting it and mulling it over, and then you're just sort of abiding in God's presence. And I was just floored by how powerful it was. And I did it for a number of months, and then it does get to that point where it sort of, air quotes here, stopped working. And that, not to just go to some other experience that to get a spiritual high every time, but to realize that's a natural part of the formation process, is a time of, you know, mountaintop and then experience and then the darker valley times too, and to not think, oh no, Lexio doesn't work, you know, think of it as like a trick to connect with God, but instead think of it as you know, I think of it a little bit like a gardening tool for the soil of your heart, and that you can, you know, sometimes a certain tool will work and sometimes it won't. And sometimes you have to, you know, get on your hands and knees and dig around, and that will also change. And so I'm thinking that different people in different seasons will really connect with something and then they won't. And then, you know, it'll just evolve, because we're talking about a living God who isn't, you know, a picture or something static. God is so alive that he draws us into more aliveness too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think one of the prayers that I go back to when I kind of feel stuck or like, ugh, I'm just not connecting. Lynette Martin, in her book Practical Praying, she wrote about this is just in the beginning of the book, and I actually haven't read much past it because this beginning just struck my heart so intensely that it just has stayed with me, and it's been worth the price of the book, which I think the book is actually out of print, but there's used copies available. In the beginning of the book, she talks about feeling like she just was praying to the air, did not feel a connection to God at all, and was just really discouraged in prayer. Like, she believed that she wanted to pray and believed that that was a way to connect with God, but it just wasn't working, like you were saying, air quotes. and so she went back to the ways that she connects with people when she first meets them. As we just get to know people, what do? We look at them, so we make a glance at them, and we smile, and maybe say hello. And so she suggested, in those times when it just feels like you're not connecting to God, glance at him, smile, and simply say hello. Oh my goodness, this made me weep at how normal that is. I mean, that's so normal. I can do that. And so, you know, for those days when I am just too sad to say anything, or discouraged, or just even just busy, but yet I want to acknowledge that God is there, I just pause, turn my heart to God, and I smile and just kind of bask in the knowledge that he's with me right now. And I just say hello. And there's such, you know, it's an amazing intimacy that's there. You know, when I think about when my husband pauses in his day and he looks at me and smiles and says hi. Oh my goodness, even now, you know, we've been married for 13 years. When he does that, it just makes my heart leap. He sees me, he acknowledges me. And not that he doesn't, but it's just, it's that focus, that intentionality. And so I love the thought of just, let's start there. Mm-hmm. Let's start by acknowledging God is here and getting to just start with that first step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a question a director might ask, I suppose, but, and you certainly don't have to answer it, but when you are struggling with depression or just feeling really down, how do you sense God in those times? Like, do you sense him as distant or in the background? Or, I mean, sometimes, I mean, obviously it could be a few different things, but sometimes in our pain, you know, that's one of those things a director will say something along the lines sometimes of, where is God in this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, which is always a great question. Mm-hmm. And I do, when I, you know, I struggle with depression off and on. I had a pretty significant season of depression a few years ago. Well, now it's been maybe 10 or more years ago. And I think during that significant season, I felt pretty distant from God. But now, you know, I'm in a much healthier place. And when I have just those funks, just those times of grief, or I do sense God with me. And I hold on to that. That is a comfort to me. During this last summer, when I really was, grieving significantly, my job loss, my ministry, loss. I didn't have a lot of energy for much. And so I sat in my comfy chair in my living room and I just watched the birds out my window and I just sat there. And I really felt that God was with me there. And I referred to my chair to anybody who asked me, I referred to my chair as my nest because it just felt cozy. I was surrounded by all these pillows and it's big enough. I can sit cross-legged in there. And so I would just sit there and, feeling kind of numb and, sad. And I sensed that God was over me, like a bird with wings, and I was in this nest, and so I felt safe and comforted and secure, and so, you know, for that season, that was what I needed, was just to be still and just to be safe with God.
And it's beautiful that image comes to mind, because it's a very nurturing mm-hmm. image that is very soothing. And I know when I've really struggled with feeling sort of abandoned by God, and knowing that, you know, your mind goes in a whole bunch of different directions. You're like, I know what I'm supposed to think.
Yeah.
I know what I've been told, and I know what the Bible says, but, you know, I'm just in the depths right now. Mm-hmm. I've relied on devotional classics or written prayers that I know I don't have enough energy. I might not even feel like this is going to legitimately come from me, but I know that I can sort of, someone can bear up my burden. And, you know, it's kind of like if you're injured, you put your arms around a friend and you limp along and they help you walk. And yes. For that time till you can mm-hmm. put weight on your leg again. And I've found like that's where it's beautiful to tap into Christian traditions, any kind of devotional classics or reading about the lives of missionaries or people who've gone before us, and that, you know, they have struggled, and sometimes you just need a little something to show you, you know, you might not sense God, but here's how other people have been helped. And has there been anything like that, any kind of resource like that you've enjoyed?
Yeah, actually, there There's a wonderful book of Celtic prayers that has just been such a wonderful gift to me. I just randomly came across it at a retreat center that I was staying at, and I knew when I saw and flipped through, it has a daily prayer, morning, afternoon, and evening prayer. And there's just something about the Celtic tradition that connects so well with nature and with God. And it's holistic. Mm-hmm. At least that's how I encounter it. And that has been a wonderful gift to me. And I agree with you, reading written prayers can be an excellent way to connect with God when it feels like the words just aren't coming.
Yeah. And I think you recently held a women's retreat. Am I right about that?
Yeah. That's another life-giving activity that I've been pursuing. And it's a creative faith, and I led that with one of my previous coworkers, and we did collage work to dig into more of who we are, how God uniquely created us. And then we also worked on vision statements or value statements. This is something that was continues to be very helpful to me as I've tried to figure out, wow, who am I outside of my job? And you know, what is my life about? And actually, I'm really grateful. About a year ago, I did a lot of work on trying to figure out what are my five core value statements. And so when I learned about my job ending, I went back to those statements and I realized, wow, thank God, this is really foundational, and they hold true outside of my work identity. And so we did that together, and then we ended with a practice. It's a tool called mind mapping. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. I know a lot of people use this tool, but I'm relatively new to it. And I believe it's used a lot in the corporate setting. I still don't know that much about it. But the way I have encountered it, it was introduced to me by Beth Borum. She runs an urban retreat center in Indianapolis. It's called Sustainable Faith Indy. Oh, I highly recommend this place to anyone. Anyone who wants to travel there, wherever you live, it's just a marvelous retreat center. She is a spiritual director. Her husband, David, is a career counselor, and they make a wonderful team for anyone who comes to their home in Indianapolis, Indiana, for a retreat. So one day I was trying to figure out how to dream. I've had a really hard time dreaming in my life and imagining what might be next for me. What is it that I want? If I could have any dream job or reality next, what would I want it to be? And I just felt stuck. And so I asked Beth if she could help me with any sort of tool to help me kind of unlock this space of dreaming about what's next. And so she suggested mind mapping. So basically, it's a brainstorming tool. You start out with drawing a circle in the center of a page, and you write your core question or thought in the center. And my questions that she suggested were, what do you want less of, and what do you want more of in the future? So these are two different mind maps. And I started out with, what do I want less of, because that felt a little easier. And so you just draw lines out from that center circle and write maybe a theme of, like, I wanted less stress. So there was a line, and then there was my little circle was stress. And so then I wrote lines off of that, what that looked like or what that meant. So, you know, a shorter commute and, you know, maybe flexible hours or something like that. And so you just fill that out, and until the page is as full as you want it to be. And she gave me these marvelous colored pencils, and so it was colorful, and and you can draw pictures, and so she does that with her monthly schedule, which I also have found that to be helpful. Put the month in the center, and then draw different areas outside of that, and that's one of the for me, I guess I'm a more visual person than I thought I was, but that's really helpful for me to see, wow, I have all this activity around spiritual direction, and I thought it was a small part of my life, but I mean, that's the biggest portion of my mind map for the month. And I thought it was running errands or something, and working on the podcast even. So anyway, that we did that together at the retreat, and that was really helpful. Very interesting.
That is really neat. So when you said mind map at first, I was a little lost, but you're really talking about taking what's in your head and kind of making a prioritized inventory in a visual sense, right?
Yeah.
It's great.
It's brainstorming. It's a, how Beth described it to me, it's a placeholder for your thoughts. So you don't lose your thoughts. They're all connected. You can see how it's integrated pretty easily on a piece of paper. And I guess there's just a bunch of different uses you can use this tool for. And there are even computer programs. If you just Google mind mapping, you'll see there's different ways you can do this on your computer. I prefer good old pencil and paper. but if you kind of delve into that world, there seems to be a lot there.
And I can see how it would be good in a lot of different settings, whether you did a mind map of just all your relationships and what you would want to improve or notice or reduce in your relationships, or whether you wanted to do a passion project or some sort of like you're saying, a career move or something like that, where you're not sure exactly how you feel about it. But then once it comes out on paper in a certain way, it can be a little more easy to navigate.
Absolutely. I love that. The thought of doing that with relationships, that sounds really exciting. Yeah. And I came away with some interesting takeaways from my mind mapping of what I wanted less of. I thought it was more logistics, but it turns out it's more culture stuff, like feelings. So work environment is going to be really big for me when I move into the next thing, whatever that is. And so anyway, there were some really great takeaways. It's a great practice.
Yeah. Was that something, so you're saying that was something you did on the retreat as well?
I did. Yeah, okay. I did.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious as to, you have a lot of interaction with women, and I'm sure that you probably, well, I saw it kind of blow up on all over on Facebook and things like that about Midday Connection. And then I'm sure people have reached out to you and are, rooting for you, championing the next project that you want to do, because when you listen to somebody on the radio for, months or years, you feel, even if that person doesn't know you, you feel like you know them.
Yeah.
And you feel a connection that you don't want to go away. It's a friendship of sorts. And so I'm wondering, as you hear from women, what do you see as patterns of struggles that seem to come to the surface most?
That's a good question. I think one of the things that women and men, I'll say too, really enjoyed about Midday Connection was the authenticity, the vulnerability of the team, and I think the lack of fear to address hard topics. I think personally, those are the things that I'm going to miss the most. Working with Midday, I felt the connection just as much as I hear listeners say. I felt like I had this great group of friends, And I have felt great love from our listeners and continue to. I felt very deeply for our listeners who contacted us and would share their burdens with us. And we prayed for them. And that felt like a great honor to address these topics of emotional abuse and domestic violence and loneliness and friendship and parenting and special needs and mental illness and all this great stuff that everyone is traveling. And I'll miss those connections. I felt like that was very meaningful work. And I felt like we were talking about the real deal. I have no time for fakeness.
or the energy, right?
Right, yeah. And so I just felt like, wow, that was such a gift to be able to do that. That really was a sweet spot for me to be able to dig into the soul of a topic and talk about it authentically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, do you see, because the podcast you want to be doing really is not like that. It's much more of a devotional practice and guided prayer. But do you see opportunities for that on the horizon soon? Or are you just going to, or in a wait and see mode in terms of those, that sort of genre of broadcasting?
Well, let's see. You know, I haven't really, I haven't thought about doing a podcast like yours or like a midday sort of format. I've not thought about that. I think I question my skill level for that. Anita Lustria, my previous coworker, is doing a podcast like that. It's Anita Lustria Faith Conversations.
Yes.
And she's doing interviews and kind of a midday style sort of podcast. So that's great. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe that might be something that I might delve into in the future. Mm-hmm. But I still feel like the newbie. And, you know, I've only been hosting midday for a year. So I'm not sure that I have the chops for it, but we'll see.
Well, you know, anytime you want to talk about something, you have an open seat. Absolutely. Because I want to go to more than one broadcast a week. I've been doing one a week and it's so much fun. I did have to get a job driving a school bus to pay for it.
It's worth it, right?
But you know what? I don't care. I just do part-time work, but this is the cry of my heart. If anything strikes you, my door is wide open. You just come on and we'll chat and you can have a little flashbacks of those times. And I'm sure other people will have you on their broadcasts as well. And I think you'll probably have to start to prioritize who gets in and who doesn't.
Oh, that's kind. Thank you. Yeah, I'll be in touch for our next topic.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there were so many things and there are so many sort of pressing issues that this is the format for them more than other formats. And so it's kind of the longer format helps, the content rich nature of podcasting really helps not be shallow and pat answers, you know, that you can wrestle with stuff and you can leave it open-ended and leave it. We'll probably talk about this again and it's an ongoing conversation. And so, you know, I welcome that and I have repeat people all the time because I think that it is like a relationship you build with guests, but also with listeners who maybe are hoping a topic gets talked about again or in a deeper way.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, good stuff. Well, I would love to come back.
That will be wonderful. So for people who want to connect with you or reconnect with you, where are some of the places they can find you or best connect with what you're up to now?
Well, my website is the best way, and you can kind of connect other places from there. So laurieneff.com. I do blog. I've been doing a series on the end of midday connection and how I'm processing that. It's kind of my own personal grief processing that everybody gets to read. And so you can connect to my podcast from there. I have a page there. And you can also connect to Facebook from my website. And I'm pretty active on Facebook and would love to connect with anyone there.
And I just also just want to affirm your blogging grieving process, because it gives people permission to grieve in a way that makes progress and healing and hope happen. And I think sometimes we're a little bit coached in maybe by society or, you know, the keep calm and carry on kind of thing where, you know, just move on. Don't think about it. And just, you know, move on to something else and stay busy and don't worry about it. But really what needs to happen is what am I feeling? And is it okay to feel things? And is it okay to work through and have pain and share that with other people? But as you share it, people, it really sends a good message, I think.
Well, I certainly hope so. I have had some concern of, I don't want to prolong this like pain of midday ending, but the reality is this is a long process. Whether you know, whether you've lost a loved one or you've lost a job or a dream, a pet, I mean, all these losses take time. And so I'm, I thank you for affirming that. I really, I would like, my goal is to just be authentic in this.
And you're right about, you know, any change or transition brings new things and brings grief. And this took up a significant part of your life for many years. And it isn't wallowing what you're doing. It is not, you know, it is just, it's sane, you know, it's just, this is how you, can feel deeply and also feel loved by God by saying it's a lament like the Psalms.
Right. You know? And there's a place for that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And there's, God wants to hear when times are good and when times are bad. And I think other people find solace and solidarity in knowing that their pain isn't so strange after all.
Right. Yeah, this grief journey is an odd one, isn't it? You know, it's like you can feel at the same time anticipation and excitement about the future, even some joy. But then right hand in hand with that is this deep sadness and anxiety. And how do you live authentically holding both of those realities? And I think that's the exhausting part, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, and Jesus is a good example of, you know, he needed his time out he had to have that tension of meeting all these needs, but stepping back and, you know, the mixed bag that life is just, we're kidding ourselves if we're thinking that there aren't going to be just real tough patches. And of course there's joys, but in everything, at least from my point of view, I've noticed even when you get a wonderful opportunity or gift, it's not that it doesn't have downsides.
Right. It's never pure.
Yeah, right.
I just want some pure joy, but you know, there's always some grief mixed in.
There's a little tinge of, it's a little bittersweet situations we wind up running into. And I think sometimes we wind up feeling guilty about that. Like I've been given different opportunities and I'm thinking, this is something I should be just 100% overwhelmed with joy. And yet there's this little seed of like, well, this also means this, I have to give this up, or this, I lose out on this aspect. And I think that, you know, kind of realizing even just for ourselves what any opportunity entails, this mixed bag is going to help us move forward and not be maybe blindsided when that happens and we notice, okay, this wasn't going to be like just pure, like you're saying.
Yeah. And I think it's so important to acknowledge that and to not, like, my tendency is just like squash that and push it aside. But I think it is, and I think that's where my exhaustion during the season of grief has come from is I'm really wanting to dig in and fully feel the sadness and fully feel this anticipation and joy about whatever might be ahead for me. And it takes more work, but I think it's so important. Otherwise, I feel like we're denying part of our humanity if we don't acknowledge it, at least, that it is just a mix.
Yeah.
And it's messy.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Lori, I am just thrilled that we could chat a little bit here. And I'm just looking forward so much to all that you're up to and reading your blog and listening in. And I'm serious about if you want to come back on.
Oh, awesome. Yay. Thank you. I really would love that. Mm-hmm. Plan on it.
Okay, sounds good. We'll get the calendar out in a few weeks and see what we got.
Good. Sounds good.
Well, have a lovely day, and I will be in prayer for you, and I just wish blessing upon you and a renewed joy and hope.
Thank you.
Did you know that every episode of Spark My Muse has show notes? You can find show notes at sparkmymuse.com, and in those show notes you'll find details about the people, books, and resources that were mentioned in the show. And sometimes you'll find photos and embedded videos too. I hope you'll stop by and check it out.
Lori and I invite you to join us for a live interactive conversation at blab.im/LisaDelay on October 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can ask questions, thank Lori for all the stuff she did over the years at Midday Connection, and find out from her what she's up to next.